Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Little Heartland Rock and Roll bringing us back. That's John Mellencamp. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're rocking and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show. I hope you check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Don't forget to check out the newsletter and subscribe to that and check out the video and also the poll question right there on the homepage. Joe Barker is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, one of the great futurists of our time. And as you know, he brings us lots of things that you and I can expect to be part of our future. Joel, one of the things that you want to talk about this segment is some alternative fuel sources. Tell us about it.
Well, and actually, in the larger scale, I want to talk about two wacky ideas. And the reason I want to talk about wacky ideas is because a lot of times this is where paradigm shifts start. Somebody does something really stupid. I mean, you look at it and you go, you can't be serious about this. And 5 years later, it's in the marketplace. So the two that I want to share with, one is energy production. The other is for transportation, for engines. The one that, when I saw it, I said, oh boy, this is crazy. But what it is some researchers in Europe, in particular in the Netherlands, have been studying a natural effect that was highly dubious when it was first discovered, and that is that plants produce electricity. They actually make electricity. And it was actually started by a guy in America, a guy named Gordon Waddell, W-A-D-L-E, who was an inventor, who pounded an aluminum nail in the side of a tree and put a copper connection in the ground and got electricity flow. And he said, oh, this is interesting. So he literally patented electricity coming from plants. The thing that's interesting about it was some people at MIT said, we're going to prove this guy is wrong. You know, he's not, the trees don't produce power, you know. So they put a young man, kind of an intern on it, to prove this guy was wrong, and he ended up proving he was right. So they said, my God, plants do produce electricity. So what's going on in Europe is they're looking for the best plants to literally produce electricity while they're still growing.
There's some kind of a species of plant out there that produces just like acai berries have a lot more antioxidant factors than say a blackberry does or a cherry does. There's some plant out there that's a better producer of electricity than another plant is.
Exactly, and it turns out plants in swampy areas with lots of shallow roots produce, in a sense, a lot of electricity. Now, here's the number that kind of will show you why it's a wacky idea still. 16 square meters of this grass material will produce enough electricity to charge your cell phone. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but it's the start of something. Yeah. And the guy who's doing the research said, look, in the last couple of years, I've increased the output 50 times. And I'm just getting started.
Well, you got to apply Moore's law to this, to something like you're talking about.
That's the concept good point. Of
Moore's law. You know, Moore's law, folks, was I'm trying to remember the guy's first name, but one of the great technology founders, and he said that a chip will double in capacity and power every 18 months. A computer chip, basically. I'm paraphrasing what he said, and that's come to pass. So what? Yep. So for the power of your cell phone, the computer capability in your cell phone, you couldn't have if you could have made it into a computer 50 years ago, it would have taken like six floors in a building to produce all that power. And now you've got it in a little microscopic device, and so that's what the potential could be on for this.
Well, exactly. And what he's saying is the thing about the electricity, if you in a sense wear the ground while you're planting your plants, you get the electricity for free. Mm-hmm. So it's a one-time cost to capture the electricity, and after that, you get this, and it may be a trickle today, but it could be a substantial current in 10 years. The point I'm making is, who would have guessed when we started this opens up, it's like it's a new paradigm, new territory, with new solutions to problems we didn't know we could solve before, all of a sudden growing certain kinds of grasses, which are also capturing CO2, you get electricity along with it. So where that's going to go, I don't know, but it's very interesting to see what's going on in that area.
Well, and you got a couple other things here. One is this cryogenic air piston engine.
Yeah, this is the other one that I just loved, because this is, I read this and I thought, okay, somebody, you know, here we think about a piston engine, what we squirt fuel, mix it with air, ignite it, it expands, you know, from the heat and drives the piston. So this guy who did this, guy's name is Dearman, D-E-A-R-M-A-N, an Englishman, said, well, what you're really talking about is just expansion. So what if I took liquid air, which is like minus 163 centigrade, it's real cold, but it doesn't have much pressure to it, something I hadn't realized. When you cool it down, it stays stable without pressure, so you don't have to worry about a big pressure vessel to hold it. You just have to have an insulated vessel to keep it cold. But what he's doing is injecting a little bit of that liquid, kind of he makes it into a mist. It goes into the cylinder, which is 50 degrees Fahrenheit. It's almost 300 degrees minus Fahrenheit. The gas hits that warm air, expands dramatically, drives the piston down. You get the same effect.
The piston, all the piston cares about is expansion. It doesn't care how you
crank it. It doesn't care whether it's cold air pushing it or warm air pushing it. All it cares is it's pushing it. And the rest of the system ejects out, puts out cold air out the back, so it's zero emissions. And the thing that Dearman's pointing out, and a couple of consulting companies have looked at it and said, this is serious stuff. We've got an infrastructure for making cold air already, so we don't have to build that. We just expand that for this. So what we have is the potential of a cold engine instead of a hot engine doing the same thing.
Very interesting. Joel Barker, hang on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. We've got some more things along these lines after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.